come back in. But I want to talk today, and I've called my talk Challenges to Fulfilling God's Purposes. I want to just share this with you today. And at the end, I'm hoping there'll be opportunity for any prayer and ministry too that may come out of that. God has an amazing plan for each one of us and for this earth. Is that right? He has an amazing plan for each one of us here. Jesus prayed, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He's not given up on planet earth. He describes God's intentions for each of us. He says, "I've come to give you abundant life." Life in the overflow. Not just full, but life that flows over. Brimming over. Psalm 23 says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup surely overflows." Would you agree with me? That's God's intention. That's God's blessing for each one of us who are followers of Jesus Christ. He also warns that the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And I just want to look at three aspects today, which he, I believe, will try to use in order to steal that life which he died for, that we should experience and enjoy. You see, eternal life doesn't start when we die. Eternal life starts now. And when we come into the kingdom of God, when we come into that relationship with Jesus Christ, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's for now. It's that we might experience a bit of heaven on earth. Your kingdom come. Your will be done here on earth as it is already being done in heaven. And Jesus has a plan for each one of us as individuals, and he has a plan for his church, of which Life Spring is obviously part, on the earth. In Ephesians 1, I was just reading through Ephesians this week. In Ephesians 1, I read this verse, verse 9. Actually, I think there's a new NIV out because my computer's come up with slightly different words in part to the ones which I've got. So I'll probably read it slightly differently to what's up here, unless that's changed to it now. He made known to us the mystery of his will. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment. And this is it, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ, or as the NIV used to say, to bring all things in heaven and on earth under one head, even Christ. That's incredible. That's incredible. That is the purpose which Paul says God has revealed this mystery to us, that at the right time, everything on heaven and on earth is going to end up under the headship and lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm an optimist when it comes to the kingdom of God. What a plan. Everything in submission to Jesus. Ayatollahs, dictators, prime ministers, presidents, kings, queens, all will bow the knee to King Jesus. Sickness, disease, death, sorrow, rejection, all has to go in God's plan. For this earth and for you and me. Do I get an amen to that? Doesn't that sound good? Now, putting all this together, abundant life, overflowing life, a purpose to make Jesus the center of everything, this can be really hard for us to get hold of, hard for us to believe, hard for us to grasp. And so a little bit later in Ephesians, verse 18, Paul says this, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you." That's what I've just been touching on, something of that hope, that you may know the hope to which he's called you and the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. Now, this morning, I'm not going to talk so much about the hope. I hope that some of you have begun to understand and grasp over the months and years, because we often refer to it, this incredible call of God on our lives and for each one of us. And Paul's praying that our hearts, in other words, that revelation might come, that our spirits might understand, that our eyes might, our spiritual eyes might see this incredible hope for the church. I've not got time to read the end of the passage in the message, but if you read about it, it's all about the church is the center of God's plans and purposes. Hallelujah. In fact, this is what the message does say before that. He says, Paul says, I couldn't stop thanking God for you. Every time I prayed, I'd think of you, the church this is, I'd think of you and give thanks. Is that how we think of LifeSpring? But I do more than thank, I ask God, the master of our master, Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning in him personally, your eyes focused and clear, so that you may see exactly what he's calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who believe. Endless energy, boundless strength. That's for us. All of that is for us. It is us. It's for us. It's for us to embrace. It's for us to receive. And yet I know, as I look at LifeSpring, I know as I look at my life, I'm not living in the fullness of all that God wants for us. And I want to talk today about three areas. And some of these are going to tread on your toes, and that's okay. We just need to confess it and repent and move on. Three areas which I believe, and there's lots more areas we could talk about, but I've only got time to talk about three which I believe prevent us from embracing, experiencing. You know, that word know the hope is experience the hope. It's not just a knowledge thing. It's just a living it out thing. Three areas which I believe, if we address, we'll be much closer to living the life that God's called us to live. Is that okay? Yeah. Challenge number one. There's no stuff up there, so you have to write it down. Challenge number one, faith versus unbelief. Faith is essential if we're going to embrace and get hold of all that God's got for us. It's essential if you want to be saved. It starts with faith. Eternal life starts now, I said, but I'm thankful that when I die, it goes on forever with me and the Lord together forever because of faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It starts there. If you don't have faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ, you cannot be assured of eternal life. If you want to know more about that, come and see me at the end because that's where it starts. But we know the story. God had a plan. He had a plan for the children of Israel. Deliverance from Egypt, through the Red Sea, might picture of baptism, under the fire and the cloud, a picture of the Holy Spirit leading them, the presence of God, through the desert, through the wilderness, through times of testing. But his purpose was never to end in the desert. It wasn't to end the other side of the Red Sea. His purpose for the children of Israel was to take them from Egypt all the way through to Canaan. Would you agree? From Egypt all the way through to the promised land. A journey of 10 days. That was God's plan as he brought them out of Egypt. And so they came up to Canaan. And it's difficult to see where the suggestion came from. One part says God told Moses. Another part says others told Moses. But whatever that happened, they decided, well, I've heard about this land. I've heard that it's good. We need to check it out. So they sent in 12 spies. And they checked it out, and sure enough, it was just as they'd heard. It was very good. It was a land flowing with milk and honey, abundance, prosperity, amazing fruit, a fertile land, and God wanted to give it to them. I think that's a picture, if you like, of the life that God wants us to experience and enjoy now. Not when we get to heaven, yes, then as well, but now too. And so the children of Israel, they heard the gospel, if you like. They heard this good news. They thought, well, check it out. And they said, it's true. This land is amazing. And 12 spies went, and 10 came back and says, it's absolutely incredible. You know, wow. You know, we've not seen anything like this. They brought back a great big cluster of fruit. It was so big that they had two people to hold it. They said, absolutely amazing. But 10 spies, 10 of them said, but there's giants there. There's obstacles. there's problems. Don't even think about it. We can't ever take it. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. And two said, yes, there are giants there. Yes, yes, yes. But if God's for us, who can be against us? And that's his plan. And that's his destiny. Do you know the story? You know the story, most of you. Rather than going in and taking hold of that land, unbelief came into the hearts of the children of Israel. And a whole generation spent 40 years in the desert, never experiencing what God had in mind for them because of unbelief. Can you see why I say this is one of the enemy's strategies? We only get hold of God's blessings through faith and through belief. And if we let unbelief dwell in our hearts, we will never receive what God has for us. We'll see the giants. We'll see the obstacles. We'll see the unsaved spouse. We'll see the children which have wandered away from God. We'll see the job which is going downhill. We'll see the job which I haven't got. We'll see all the problems and obstacles. We'll see cells that just aren't growing. We'll see people just not responding to the gospel. But if we believe God's plan, we can receive his blessing for us as Christians and as a church and enjoy the promised land. Amen. I believe that's God's plan for us. That's God's heart for us. Unbelief is easy. Anybody can join the unbelieving crowd. But it's not what God's looking for. He's looking for faith. Anybody can say, it's never going to happen. Well, you can think that as much as you like. I want to be somebody that believes, even on my dying day, even if I haven't seen it beforehand, it can still happen in the future. Amen. Because God is a God who's faithful to his word. Hallelujah. Anybody can disbelieve. Why am I so hot on this point? Because I know my default easily goes to unbelief too. I know my weakness there. It's so easy to see the problems in society. It's so easy to look and lose faith in the God who's called us to be a church to make a difference. And so I want to be those that believe God. And I want to be mixing with those that believe in God. Because unbelief pulls us down, faith builds us up. And if we can mix with those with faith, we can build up, we can encourage, we can take ground, we can demolish the giants, and we can receive all that God's got for us. But you see, two had faith. Caleb and Joshua had faith. God was gracious to them and they survived the 40 years. But they never experienced the promised land for 40 years either because their friends had unbelief. There's a corporate thing in this. It's no good just John and me believing. We need to believe as a church and embrace and get hold of all that God's got for us. Last point on that one here. Do you remember Thomas coming to Jesus? They'd all told him Jesus had risen. He said, I don't believe you. I saw him die. I saw the blood. I saw the limp body. No way. And then all of a sudden, Jesus appeared to him. He said, Thomas, put your hand in my hand. See the holes. Look at my side. Thomas said, my Lord and my God, I believe. Jesus said, Thomas, you only believe because you've seen and touched me. But blessed are those which believe who haven't seen. Yeah. That's faith. Blessed are those that believe that haven't seen. Church, let's rise up. Let's ask God. Let's repent of unbelief. Let's not wander around in the desert for 40 years. Let's repent of unbelief and say, Lord, help me believe. Help me believe. Number one. Number two, challenge. I'm okay, thank you very much. I quite like the desert. Number two is, we settle. But it's not the time to settle. It's time to go on. We've been called to build church to make a difference. The children of Israel came out of Egypt and there was a land in front of them. But there were challenges and there were obstacles. And they said to Moses, oh, Moses, why did you take us out of lovely Egypt? We loved all the food, and they'd forgotten about the slavery and all the oppression and everything else. But compared to what they were experiencing, oh, why have you taken us from there? If only we could have stayed in Egypt. At least we had some food to eat. And it wasn't even good. But the good can be an enemy of the great if we allow it to settle. And we settle. We settle for good church. We settle for our experiences. We settle for where we are. And there's 250,000 people that still need to hear the gospel. But what's the problem there? You know, why can't we just be happy? You know, LifeSpring was happy a few years ago. We had nice little groups. Everyone could do what they wanted to do pretty much. Sundays were quite good. Giving was quite good. Reasonable numbers came along. What was the big problem? Well, I wouldn't say it was a big problem, but the problem was we'd settled. The problem was there was no clear vision, no clear purpose. Then the challenge of a vision and purpose, in fact, Jesus' vision and commission came. You've received the Holy Spirit. Now go and be my witnesses. But Lord, we like the goosebumps. We like the revival meetings. Lord, we like coming forward for prayer and falling on the floor afterwards. Lord, we like going to New Wine and Soul Survivor. We like going up to Sunderland Refreshing and seeing what God's doing and hearing all the stories. Lord, but go, he says. Don't settle. Go. I've given you my Spirit. Go and make disciples. Surely not in our culture, Lord. Not in 21st century Britain. Not disciples. If we start instructing people and teaching them to obey what you've told us, they'll leave the church. I'm just pleased that they're here. Go. There's a vision. There's a heart. Reach the lost. Disciple them. All of a sudden, there's a challenge to our comfort. But there's a nice little house group. You know, I just like the six or seven of us. We've been like this for 10 years. But it's comfortable. I know everybody there really, really well. And we play Monopoly. And we do this. And we pray for each other. Well, I suppose somebody else could come along, but I don't know that they'd fit very much now because we know each other so well, and it'd be hard to... Hey, God's got a plan. Yeah. And it means we don't settle. It means there's ground to take. It means there's people to save. It means there's a church to grow. It means there's a supernatural dimension of the Holy Spirit for us to experience more than we've ever experienced before. And I think I'm primarily talking to people my age here. I'm in my 50s, but 40s, 50s, 60s. It's not time to settle. Don't settle now. You've got your house, you've got this, maybe your mortgage is paid off, this, that, and the other. Right. Now's the time to get going. Now's the time to get hold of all that God's got for us, that we really might see his purpose fulfilled in our lives. So number two challenge. I'm okay. You know, I'm just enjoying life as it is. Well, you might be, but God's got a plan. And he loves those that don't yet know him. And he's called us to reach Reading. Not by ourselves. I'm not being arrogant. He's called us, though, as part of his plan, to reach Reading, to reach the UK, to reach Europe. He's chosen you. Do you want to be part of that plan? Well, that's the trouble, you see. Maybe six of us do. But actually, he doesn't want us to settle. He wants us to get hold of his... The reason he's given us the Spirit, the reason we have renewal, the reason we have refreshing and all those sort of meetings... is, yes, to bless us that we might be a blessing to others. Yes, to change our lives that we can bring hope to others. Yes, to bring people into our homes because it was a mess, but it's not now because God's come. Yes, to mend our marriages because they weren't too special, but now he's come and if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. That's the reason for the Spirit of God, that we might be witnesses. I hope there's more than six or seven of us which are going to be on that one. It's time to refocus. It's time to say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Yeah. I might be 50. I might be 60. But like Caleb, who was 80, I'm raring to go because you've got a plan for my life. It's time to be willing to be discipled in order to disciple, that we might fulfill God's call on our lives. I really hope people say, yes, Nev, I'm with you. Yeah. Because that's where we're going. That's where we're going. Hallelujah! Number three challenge. Give honour to whom honour is due. A dozen or so of us were praying on Thursday morning, and it was a good time of prayer, 6 o'clock, that hour. And during that time of prayer, I felt such a challenge, a burden, and I began to weep. And I shared something as we prayed. We prayed into what I was sharing. And after people left, I stayed and I wept more. So I felt God had just put something on my heart. I believe I was catching a concern that he had for us as a church. You see, what was I so troubled about? Our attitude to the Lord's anointed. Some of us judge, mock, speak against, criticize those whom the Lord has anointed. And I think we should be worried. Aaron and Miriam, Moses' brother and sister, they had a point. Their brother, Moses, had married a non-Israelite. And their law said they should not marry outside of the Israelite community. And they began to grumble against Moses. In fact, I think there's a bit of jealousy, maybe a bit of arrogance there too, because they went on to say, and does Moses think he's the only person that hears from God? Aren't we just as good at listening to God too? Well, they probably weren't, but you know, but aren't we just as good? Yeah, they had a point, but God didn't see their point. God saw them grumbling against the Lord's anointed. And rather than dealing with the sin, the mistake in Moses' life, God never touched on that, but he touched on those that grumbled against his imperfect anointed one. And he brought them into the tent, and as they left the tent, Miriam was covered in leprosy. The judgment of God fell because they spoke against the Lord's anointed. I think LifeSpring, corporately, we've got to be careful. Just because something's not done the way we think it should be done, just because our little box is the best, the trouble is we think it is. Or the only box. And if it doesn't fit in there, it's not so good. We judge and we speak against. And I don't think any of you will have ever heard me speak against anybody in Reading or people I don't even understand or necessarily even agree with. I might express my concern about something they might be saying, but I won't speak against those I see as the Lord's anointed. Yeah. Because who am I to presume? He's chosen them. He chose Moses in all his imperfection to lead the people, lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. The arrogance of Aaron and Miriam nearly cost them their lives. Others rebelled and it did cost them their lives. Church, I think we've got to give honour to whom honour is due. Amen. And that means honouring the anointed of the Lord, whoever they are, and wherever they are. I've mentioned this before. We were in Bogota maybe 5-6 years ago. And Benny Hinn had been invited to come and preach. And Jackie and I actually, we'd had so many meetings, we didn't actually go to the first Benny Hinn meeting. And when we were waiting in the hotel foyer, church from Liverpool came back, and they were just full of this amazing evening of miracles, of prophecy, of healings, and everything else. And then some from LifeSpring came back. Not going back there tomorrow. It was terrible. It was like a big entourage. All these people around them, all these bouncers, flamboyant, white suit, this, that, the other. The way he prayed, nothing like Pastor Caesar. The way he prayed. And an offense was taken. And people from LifeSpring said, I'm not going back. And they didn't go back. We've got to be so careful. I'm not saying Benny Hinn's imperfect or anything like that. I'm not saying I even like his style. But I know this. He's healed more people probably on this planet than anybody else has. He's reached more people with the gospel. Well, more people have heard him preach the gospel than anybody else has. He's probably given hundreds of millions of dollars away. You know, he's given that away, but probably more than many other ministries have. And we sit in our little castles, our little hotel foyer. Don't like this, don't like that, don't like the other. But God uses him. Uses him. Bless him. We need to pray for Benny here. We need to pray for the Lord's anointed. Saul had been killed in battle by a young man. And he came with this good news to David, who was fighting against Saul. Well, he wasn't fighting, he was waiting for, you know. He came with this good news to David, thinking he'd be absolutely thrilled. David just says to him, "Why weren't you afraid to lift your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" "But David, he's been against you, he's been against your purposes, he's been this, he's been that, he's been the other." But David recognized that he was the Lord's anointed. And until the Lord removes his anointed, David wouldn't lift his hand against him. And that young man that came with such good news, David slaughtered, because he killed the Lord's anointed. If we want to receive the blessing of God, if we want to enjoy the blessing of heaven, we need to open up and bless and receive those whom God has given us. Is that right?
Amen.
Amen. David understood something we're in danger of missing. If the Lord has anointed, bless and don't criticize. Defend, stand up for, support and honor, and you'll receive his reward. You know, it's important to honor those over us. Your pastors, your cell leaders, body language honors or dishonors. So what's your body language? Words honor or dishonor? We had a card this week from Tracy in Mozambique. And she said, "I just want to write to you. And I want to encourage you in standing firm in the vision. I've heard there's been negative stuff said." This is in Mozambique. "I heard there's been negative stuff said, and I want to assure you I'm praying for you. I admire your perseverance. I admire you going on with God's call on your lives." Bless Tracy. That's how we should be responding. That's what we should be doing. We should be getting hold of what God's got for us and honoring what he's calling us to do. Words honor. Lack of words can be troublesome sometimes. Actions honor or dishonor. So be careful what you do. I've heard it said before, I often disagree with what's said at the front of LifeSpring, but, you know, we just get over it. That is so dishonoring. If you often don't agree, go somewhere else. Find somewhere where you do. Honor those who the Lord's given you. If the Lord's called you to be here, then open up your heart and receive from the Lord, and you'll be blessed. But if you put up a barrier, you'll never experience the blessing of God on your lives. Just a couple more things just to say on this. Somebody came to my office a few years ago, wanted to help me see how flawed G12 was and how flawed Pastor Caesar was. I was feeling quite gracious at the time, so I gave him 10 minutes. And had this person ever heard Pastor Caesar speak? No, of course not. Did you read his books? No. Had you looked on the internet? I expect so. This person can't even find a church to be part of. Everything's a struggle in his life. And I said, "I'm sorry, I'm not listening to anything more. You are just being arrogant. You've got no fruit in your life. And you're criticizing somebody who's got one of the biggest churches in the world, who's seeing hundreds of souls saved every week, who has established churches across Colombia, and they're the biggest church in every city of Colombia, whose ministry now is across the world on a global thing, and you can't even be part of a church. I'm sorry, I'm not interested." Arrogance. I haven't seen him since. I love that guy. He has got so much to offer and to give. But if he criticizes the Lord's anointed, he'll never experience it. few years ago, somebody else came to me. They lived at the church at the time. Neville, you need to speak against Todd Bentley. Warn people not to go to his meetings in Florida. To tell them it's dangerous, it's deception, it's this, it's that, it's the other. I said, look, you're entitled to your opinion, but that's not my opinion. I see hundreds saved and healed. In fact, if you were to talk to Malk or talk to Tamrat or if you talk to Vernon from St. Agnes, people that went over there, they would say this was an anointed ministry of God. Yes, flawed. Yes, he got divorced. Yes, there was all sorts of problems. Yes, he was covered in tattoos. Yes, 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 yes. But God chose him at that time and anointed him at that time. And I'm not going to preach against the Lord's anointed. And nor should any of us. These are three areas which I felt came out of that prayer time which we had in the week. Because I'm sharing this because I want us as a church to get hold of all God wants for us. Because I believe he wants to bless us individually and corporately so that we can be such a blessing to Reading and beyond. I believe that's his heart for every church. But I'm talking to this church because I'm responsible for here. These three areas the enemy will use to prevent us from getting hold of God's plans for our lives. Number one, faith and unbelief. Unbelief is rife in the church in the UK. Let's be different. Let's be men and women of faith. Number two, I'm not going to settle. Give me Caleb's spirit, wholehearted after the Lord. Number three, I'm going to honour. Even if I don't agree, even if I don't understand, I'm going to honour the Lord's anointed. By the way, that doesn't mean to say every vicar and minister is the Lord's anointed. I'm not saying that. But we recognise. When we recognise the anointing of God, we honour and we pray, we defend and we bless the Lord's anointed. And I think those are three areas. If we were prepared to allow the Holy Spirit to deal within our lives, I believe we will experience even more of his love, his blessing and his favour, that we might be even more of a blessing to those who we're in touch with and who need to hear the gospel. Can we stand together? I want to lead us in prayer. John, I just wonder whether you might be able to come and we can have some music in the background. I know it's not like a nice, comfortable little encouraging word in one sense. But it's the Lord's kindness that leads us to repentance. And because I believe the Lord wants the best for you as an individual, I've shared these things. And because I believe the Lord wants the best for us as a church, I've shared these things. And I'm going to pray a prayer which I hope you'll be able to join in with me. And if you feel you need to confess to the Lord, you can come to the front, but and that'd be fine, and we can pray together, or you can stay where you are, that's fine too. But what I'm saying is, hear what I'm saying. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Unbelief, you'll never experience the blessing of God. You'll never even get saved, actually. So if you need to be saved, come and talk to Jackie or myself. Number two, if you settle for the good, you'll never get hold of the great. Don't settle. Don't settle. It's not the time to settle. It's the time to push on. It's the time to go through. It's time to go over the Jordan. Get hold of the land. All that God's got for us. Number three. Honour those whom the Lord honours. I didn't say agree with everything they say. They're imperfect too. They make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But honour the Lord's anointed. Jesus said the same thing. If you want to receive the reward, you honour the man of God and you receive his reward. Let's be those which honour, defend, stand up for the Lord's anointed at LifeSpring, in Reading, and across this earth. Maybe we could just lift up our hands to the Lord. So, Lord, we come to you. We thank you for your incredible kindness. We thank you for your incredible patience. Thank you that we're living in the New Testament, not the Old Testament. Hallelujah. Thank you there is grace to overcome judgment, mercy and forgiveness. And I want to pray, Lord, that as we come to you, you help our unbelief, Lord. I want to pray, Lord, that you drive out unbelief, Lord, and that you give us faith in your word, faith in your promises, that you open our eyes to see this incredible calling, this glorious hope, which you've called us to enjoy and experience now, abundant life, life in the overflow. Lord, help us to believe that's your call for us because your word says it is, we pray. And Lord, drive unbelief out. And where there's that default, Lord, we confess it and we repent of it. And I pray, Lord, instill faith. Instill faith in our hearts that we're men and women of vision and hope and faith based on the word of God. Lord, I pray that we will never settle. Oh, we've got, Lord, those of us which have got families, we'll bless our families, but we'll be pursuing you. Those of us which have got careers, you'll bless us in our careers, but we continue to pursue you. Lord, I pray like Paul, we'll be those which are pressing on to all that you have got for us. Because I know this isn't it, Lord. There's a whole lot more to come. Lord, help us to press into your plans and your purposes for us as a church, I pray. And where we've settled, Lord, we want to repent and acknowledge it and say, Lord, stir us again. Put your fire in our hearts. Put that vision in our bones, Lord, that we might go forward in all that you've called us to, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, where we've dishonored those at LifeSpring, those in Reading, those on the God Channel, those of our friends at conferences or wherever it might be, Lord, where we have brought dishonor, forgive. Forgive. Forgive and change our heart, Lord, I pray. Lord, don't hold it against us where we've prejudged the situation and we judged the people and we judged ministries which you've anointed. Lord, help us to discern and to recognize the Lord's anointing and to bless and to give honor to those which you've called. Lord, I pray, forgive us. Forgive us for saying wrong stuff, for being critical, for being judgmental. Just because we don't like, just because we don't agree, forgive us, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. And Lord, I say, help us. Help us receive your abundance, grace, and favor that we might be a blessing to everybody we come in touch with. In Jesus' name.